Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. During the season of Advent, you've probably noticed that you just can't get away from John the Baptist. At our first Advent midweek service, he made his first appearance leaping in the womb of Elizabeth. And this past Sunday, there he was in Herod's prison. And besides our scripture readings, John the Baptist is also in the preface right before the Lord's Supper all throughout Advent in the communion liturgy. Maybe you've noticed that. And so try as you may, you just can't escape John the Baptist. And that's all really quite intentional. John the Baptist is a very unsettling character, especially during Christmas. He's got a sort of disruptive presence at this time of year, and let me tell you why. Because when the world wants us stuffing ourselves with food and indulging in every appetite, there's John, the aesthetic living on wild honey and locusts. And when the world wants us shopping and filling our closets till they're bursting, we find John the Baptist opting for camel hair and living in poverty. When the world wants us focused on superficial holiday foo-foo and shallow sentimentality, there's John the Baptist preaching repentance and warning us to flee from the wrath to come. John the Baptist's presence during this time of year leaves no room for the status quo in our lives. There's no room for complacency in John's preaching. It's just repent, change your life, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He says, "Behold the Lamb of God." And then that great line about Christ saying of him, "He must increase." And then about himself, "And I must decrease." Marching orders for all of us, by the way. You see, there's good reason Jesus called John the greatest of all men born of women. That is, the greatest of all men without a virgin birth. Because he was obsessed with the kingdom of God. That's why he was great. John ordered all things to the reign of Christ. He was obsessed with Christ. He loved him. And he's an example for us to do the same. Again, if you want to get to Christmas, it seems that there's just no getting around John the Baptist. You have to hear from him. And I think that's for our good. Here's a couple quick lessons I'd like you to think about that we learn from St. John. First off, John the Baptist was not afraid to go against the status quo. He wasn't afraid to go against the grain. And I don't primarily mean his weird clothing and strange diet. He was uncompromising in his zeal for the truth of God's word. He preached against the adultery of a king. He confessed God's truth of marriage and was even persecuted for that. In a world that is rapidly changing all around us, with views increasingly hostile to the truth of God's word, especially regarding life and marriage, our faith can sometimes feel at odds with the people all around us. So often our faith can raise eyebrows and subject us to ridicule, and in some parts of the world, and even here to an extent, can lead to persecution in many and in various forms. John, he reminds us that our whole lives are ordered toward the kingdom of Christ breaking into this world, and most certainly not toward how society might demand we think or act. Our Lord offers words of comfort on this as he reassures his disciples just prior to his arrest. He says, and he's speaking to you, by the way, "If you belonged to the world would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. I'd like you to please notice there that when our Lord gives this assurance, he's not presenting persecution and trouble as some hypothetical, but simply as a given. And this means that living out our faith can be hard, especially if your faith is not shared by your family or friends or co-workers, and I struggle too. But the example of John the Baptist and the loving words of Jesus, they give us comfort. Second noteworthy thing about John is that he understood vocation. He understood vocation, that is, to be called by God, as few ever have. He totally embraced this single role, this holy calling of introducing the world to its Savior. He called himself the friend of the bridegroom and simply wanted to introduce Israel to her Messiah. It's so nice to be introduced to someone special, but there's nothing so great as being introduced to Jesus, the Son of God. And that's what John was all about. And all Christians too, you and me, we have this holy calling as well, to use our gifts and our talents and all that we are to bear witness to the love of Christ. We too can introduce others to the love of God in our conversation, in works of mercy, and sacrificial love. We too have the privilege of taking up the calling of John to bear witness to the light, to be a voice and a finger pointing to the Lamb. And then from him we learn to be humble, to become nothing, that Christ might become everything. Third lesson from John is to follow him in a life of joy. In a life of joy. I don't want you to think that John was some just eccentric, stern aesthetic. He was more than that. The essence of Christianity lies in hope and joy, and that's what John was through and through. He was joyful. First thing we know about John at all is him leaping in the womb of his mother when he first comes close to Jesus, when he gets near him. And later, John calls himself again the friend of the bridegroom, who is simply glad, joyful to stand with Jesus and to hear his words, filling him with joy. I know that life can often really grind us down. It can beat us down. And by the devil's urgings and by our own sinfulness, we are under constant threat to be joyless, uptight creatures. But John, he teaches us not to go for that, even when the world is against us. Again, the essence of Christianity is hope and joy and cheerful confidence in the Lord's promises. In fact, no matter how hard life gets, what pressures we face, we have the rock-solid promise that Christ is with us through it all, and even through the gates of death itself. John the Baptist's joyous leaping calls us to remember that we are an Easter people. We are a joyful people. That through Christ's death and resurrection, we have cause for the greatest joy, and that we too should remember to greet the Lord with the happiness and gratitude of a people who have been saved for all eternity. So again, three quick things to think about from John. First, do not be afraid if the world finds you offensive for the faith that you hold. You may feel marginalized, but don't forget that the saints and the angels and the Holy Trinity stand on your side. You are on the winning side. So don't be afraid to suffer a little for the name of Jesus. Christ is with you, and he's by your side, and he will never let the righteous fall. Second, John took his vocation seriously. He was content with the single role of introducing folks to Jesus. And we should let some of his zeal and extremism spill over into our lives too. Where we serve, at our work, in our homes, in our community, we can witness to Christ. We can introduce him to others in prayer and conversation. Jesus says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. This is not the law, this is the gospel. And third, there is John's joy, the joy of Christ, a joy that leaps at the presence of God. So this time of year, don't skirt around John the Baptist to get to Christmas. Let him stand in the way with that voice and that finger pointing you to the God who took on human flesh to give you the greatest gift of all, himself. In the name of Jesus, amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.